ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
For me, I would be very upset, pissed also.
And listen, people, overall, the guy is well in control.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 17 of Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael alongside Ryan Villopoto. Got to thank our sponsors before we get going. Like always, United Motorsports, Quadlock Case, and of course, Boxo USA. We appreciate you guys jumping on board. You're great partners. And again, we appreciate you. And first of all, RV, I got to say, one heck of a job last week. Thanks for substituting and filling in. And massive shout out to Davey Coombs for coming on board. I listened to the show. And first and foremost, again, you did a great job. It was super informative, some great insight. And so good job, man. That was a
thank you.
Doing it or what?
Yeah, no, it was good. I was a bit nervous coming in, but with a co-host like Davey Coombs, you know, there's a lot of times I'm watching the clock, right? And I'm like, Davey, we need to cut it off. You're talking too much, you know? So, but it was good, you know, as a managing the show and things like that, and good insight from him. You know, he's been around the sport obviously forever. So, yeah. There's only one Davey Coombs, you know, so he's, it was good to have him on.
Yeah, that was good. It was a good show. Great job. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to listen to you guys. And again, I appreciate it and proud of you for the job that you did. And
thank you,
man. I went to High Point this weekend. It was a lot of fun to be back. That's the first Promotocross race that I've been to this year. But nevertheless, it was exciting. Dude, that place got so much rain on Friday, as we talked about on the broadcast. And of course, I'm sure as you have heard. So it was wetter than anticipated and made it more challenging, I feel like, for the guys. But nevertheless, it was a lot of fun. It was interesting. There's no doubt. It was cool to have Kenny back and, but to get right into it, you know, I go to that 250 class and then you hear the news after the final moto and the overall about this, red cross flag that Hunter jumped on, and we got some tape about that, and we have Hunter's view on it and what he had to say.
So are you aware of the penalty that was assessed to you?
Yeah, it was. I think it sucks. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Apart from that, it was great.
Yeah, that was a bummer. I think we actually have some replay of it too. Of here it is, you know, red cross flag out to the right. It's a little step up. To be honest, as a racer, as like for me looking into this, I would be very upset, pissed also, especially because I feel like red cross flags are for, you know, a majority of them are for guys that are actually hurt, that are down on the ground when they're being assisted by the Alpenstars mobile medical unit or flaggers or things like that. This guy was already up. Also too, I know there's lights on there. It's a step up. It wasn't a blind jump. So look, yeah. I get it. I get there's rules. There has to be rules, but I also think that where the red cross flag is pulled and how it's pulled, and all those things have to come into consideration. Yep. If I was team manager, if I was Lars, I would be trying to protest it. I don't know if there's anything that, you know, really a leg to stand on, but like Hunter said, I would be pissed. You know,
I think that, yeah, for sure. You're exactly right. Like safety first and foremost. And you brought up something really good, RV, about like the guy wasn't even down. He was actually riding.
He was
eating off. So I think that the officials got it wrong. I'm not trying to be insensitive, whatsoever, but I mean, dude, the guy was cranking his motorcycle up. He was going, it really wasn't I'm not even going to say it was it doesn't matter the size of the jump, but regardless. Yeah. I think,
but it wasn't blind. It wasn't wrong. A blind, jump, right?
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't a blind jump. There was, I think like to say, I think they definitely got it wrong. On the penalty, I think they should have looked at it. And you can see Hunter turns around. We're watching, you know, video, and you can see he turns around and he goes, "Oh man, he realized after the fact of what had happened."
And, it would be great. It would be, you know, it'd be great to know, is like, was the dude hurt, or like, was he laying there for a little bit, or did he just stall the bike, or, you know, like what, like why the red cross flag in that situation? I understand that, like, it's on a jump, but you and I have been in millions of races where the yellow flag's going when a dude falls down on an outdoor motocross track or supercross track in the rhythm lane for that matter, or the whoops, yep. The yellow flag's going, the guys they're sitting ducks. So like, I wonder what happened there. It'd be interesting to talk to the officials and get some more wording on that, to exactly like why the red cross. So to your point, like, yes, that Lars have a leg to stand on? Probably not, because it's right there on video. He blatantly jumped it. But at the same time, where I do think Lars's case to lobby against is, dude, the guy was up and moving.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And there was nobody on the track helping the individual, right, of the rider down. So to me, I feel like you say, we've jumped on lots of jumps, full-size triples at Supercross, right, rhythm sections, whoops. And there's always, we're always dealing with yellow flags every now and then. So I feel like that was a very, a really premature pulling of a red cross when we know the red cross is supposed to be wheels on the ground. So now it leads you to believe that you're going to see a red cross in certain scenarios where it shouldn't be. And now you're going to have guys push the limits more. Yeah. If, you know, looking at this footage, like, yeah, you're going to stretch the limits a bit here, because they could pull it, you know, anytime. And it should be only pulled for when a rider is, when we have issues on the motorcycle track.
Yeah. So you've been to I think the first three of the motocross races. I only went, this is my first one. And then like my download from the whole weekend was a lot of the same, I think, in the 250 class. But as an overall, as an event, it was fun. The track was different every single time that they got on the track. Like that first, what is it? The warm-up practice. I mean, that was pretty much a joke. The guys couldn't really do anything. The track was completely trashed because,
I mean, I heard there was bikes, he's seizing up clutches and overheat and boiling water. Some privateers, I'm sure, blew some bikes up. I heard it was pretty sticky and nasty in that first practice.
Yeah, it was, dude. It was certainly a quagmire. I mean, what, Hunter's bike, it DNF'd in that practice. Yep. So he was pushing his bike back. I think a couple other riders certainly had issues, but nevertheless, it was fun. Like I said, the 450, kind of the same stuff, with the exception of Ken coming back, and then the 250, dude, we keep talking about it, but that fifth to like 13th place, you're right. I mean, it's just like, you just never know. Like Kitchen,
yeah,
perfect example of it. You know, he did great the first moto, and then the second moto, he's like, where is the dude?
Yeah, you know, it's inconsistent. You know, you kind of see this from some of the lights class guys that really can't get it together. You know, Levi's one of those that has had some struggles early on. Colorado seemed like he had a breakthrough with his riding, a little bit better finish. We have a better moto finish for Levi here at High Point, but then struggled in Moto 2. Same thing with Joe Shimoda too. Like, honestly, I was expecting Joe to be better. Yeah. Than he is. And, yeah, and, certainly, you know, when Joe's on, he can slice through the pack like nobody's business. Like, he's one of the better guys out there. He's a championship contender, but he can't be laying down. I mean, I watched coming down the hill after the start in that first moto, I think it was. That was blatantly his, from what it looked like for me, just tucked the front end. It was muddy, greasy down there. What of, I guess, a rookie mistake, you know, like, he can't be giving up this many positions and points and then decide to come back. And it's not when you have Hunter being very consistent, you have Hayden being very consistent. you know, there's a handful of guys out there that are consistent, but you have Joe, you have RJ, Levi that haven't been, right? So those guys can't afford to give up that much real estate.
Right. Nope. You're exactly right. And honest, yeah, I was bummed to see Joe go down like that because I was writing some notes down last week, just kind of getting prepped for the weekend. And one of the things, like after the weekend, I was going through my notes and just kind of seeing what I got wrong and some of the things that I might have been right on. And some of the notes that I wrote on Joe was like, hey, this guy, he has the speed to win. And he gets better as the season goes on. Especially if you go for, you take last year into consideration. I mean, he was one of the guys. It was him, mm-hmm. Jet, and Hunter. And I keep thinking that we're going to see that from him, those type of rides. And it's little things, you know, like exactly like you said. And I feel like I'm probably being a little tough on Joe, but dude, you're exactly right. That first corner, I mean, it's muddy. He should know better than that. The caliber of rider that he is now. With that said, look, we're all human and we make mistakes. But I think when the track is like that, you have to be a little, you have to have a little more awareness. And I agree with you. It's, I don't think he's hitting the mark like he should, in my opinion.
I agree, man. Like, you know, it looks like Tom Biel too, you know, put in a stellar performance in Moto 2.
His bike was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, I watched him and look, it was, you said it on the broadcast, definitely a little more of a European style track. Wasn't balls to the walls, wide open everywhere. Kind of like we see some of our track, like Hangtown, like Paula was initially, Colorado, very much similar to this, but he went down, coming down the downhill. But this one here, High Point, bike looked good. It just looked like you had to really be patient, take your time. You know, and try to ride as free as possible, but those, you know, it's very hard, as you know, those ruts are unbelievably long at High Point. So you can tell your rider or any rider loose is better, but to once you get out there, it's like you're just in a slot car and it's very hard to ride loose because you're fighting the motorcycle the whole time.
He seemed like that second moto when we were talking about him on the broadcast too, to your point, like, I don't know, man. He found like some excellent lines. Like, I don't know. He felt like he didn't look like he was struggling even and talked about it. If you listen to the, to his interview, post-race interview, he talked about how it was very similar to, some of the GP tracks and the conditions, wet in the morning, then got ruddy. And so it was cool to see him do well, but shifting gears to, RJ Hampshire. And I'm not going to speak too much on it because I want to hear what you have to say about it. But he's in the lead, right? He's got a pretty decent, manageable lead. Probably I can't remember what lap it was when you're watching this until he goes down. Like what are you thinking, you know, at this point while you're watching?
Yeah, you know, so this is Moto One we're watching here, and he just came over that rise there and pushed the front. Obviously Deegan was able to get by him, and now we're watching Deegan go down with the lapper and then RJ stalking Hayden and was able to make the pass. And you know, in this turn here, they get together just a little bit. Great racing, by the way, like, you know, RJ, if he could just be more consistent, and we keep talking about the consistency, especially in this class, everybody's all over the board. Like right here, I have results 3-1 for Hunter, 1-7 for RJ, Hayden 2-6, Joe 7-3, VL 11-2, Chance 8-5, you know, so it's all over the board. Right. So,
yeah.
But I do have to say that RJ being that the veteran that he is in this class, like, I do have to say that I bet his team expects more, trying to reach those, get those consistent motos, right? Hunter's really the only one that's been able to, salvage any motos.
Yeah. I like to watch this. This is second moto in the start and that's RJ on the inside. He's wearing the purple gear, and then watch, he just grabs a handful. There's his teammate, Jalik Swole. We're watching the replay when he comes together with his teammate. Obviously he was super upset about it. When I say upset, RJ was upset about that move and what transpired there after the race. He talked about it when we had an opportunity to talk to him. I think it was for his podium speech. But if you're coaching RJ Hampshire and you're telling us all, viewers and the listeners, like, he needs to be more consistent, what do you tell him to make him more consistent?
You know, it's, you know, that's a very hard one without really knowing, but just from the outside looking in, the kid has the speed. He's got the talent. He's, you know, he's one of the hardest workers out there. He sticks to it even with, you know, a first turn crash like that and works his way up to a seventh. You know, it's, he doesn't have to show that speed every single time. It's about managing the race too, putting yourself in a good position there. That replay that we just watched, to me, he's seen Julik coming around the outside. He's like, I'm going to fade out. Well, he faded way like basically into the side of him instead of giving his teammates some room there. That's the last thing you want to do. And maybe it hooked up something that I can't see in it. The rear tire hooked up and he went straight or whatever happened. But, once again, he's on the ground. How are you supposed to race with Hunter when he's going 3-1? You know, and Hayden, you know, in second in points right now with a 2-6, right? Like that's fairly consistent. So, it's tough, you know. I think as a trainer, as what he should be doing. I mean, we could sit here and throw mud at the wall, but like, and see what sticks. But I think for him, he's got to like get his mind and his in his racing just to almost relax a little bit. Like, it's not, you're better. You're substantially better than most of these guys. You should be. Right. So
yeah, calm, I mean, I think,
just a little bit.
I think he should be on the podium every single time, in my opinion. And like the reason that I ask you, because like, yeah, we know he needs to be consistent, but like, what are you telling him? And I just, if I was helping him, RV, I'd be like, dude, like to what you said, take a step back. You don't have to set fastest lap all the time, but be more aware, dude. If you know that the ruts are going to be a certain way, like, guard on the side of, okay, you don't have to go full send. Be careful if you're leaning it over. Like, you know, just be more aware, because I feel like some of the crashes that he's had is he was lacking that awareness, you know, like he wasn't anticipating, like, let's just say a berm to blow out, or like, what was it at Paula? He leaned the bike over and it went over the rut. So it's just, and it's little stuff like that. And I know that he's riding with great guys that have that kind of awareness, you know, at the Baker factory. So anyhow, I hate to see it, because I love his determination. I love how he lays it all on the line. I wish that he could seal it up more, because I think he's deserving of it, you know? So anyhow, that's what I think of.
No, I agree. I agree. There definitely needs to change up the program of some way, some form. To get that consistency to be there, because that's really the only, he's not lacking speed. Seems like Husqvarna has that bike laying some power down, because the last few starts. He's been getting great starts, right? So he's putting himself in a great position. He's just making these little mistakes that are really detrimental to his season.
Hey, when you were watching the broadcast this weekend, and the first news that I heard when I got there on Friday to the track was how Deegan and that Monster Energy Star Yamaha team had tested with them. I guess they had opportunity to talk to some people flying home yesterday that are on that team. And they said they did a lot of stuff, a lot of changing, just getting Hayden more comfortable. I said on the broadcast, and part of this could be because he's getting better and he's getting confidence. But I thought that his bike looked a lot better. And when I say that, I'm meaning like it wasn't stepping out as much. And he rides that ragged edge. Like he goes, he sends it. We all know that. But could you notice anything to like where maybe he was a little less, I wouldn't call it twitchy, but the bike wasn't stepping out as much, or was it hard for you?
Well, I think yes. And why I say that is obviously we had Hangtown, we had Paula, two tracks that are kind of similar in their own way. Different dirt conditions, but not very rutty, not very deep. Paula got rough and then we went to Colorado. Right. And then I would say that was our first, if anybody had a fire drill on Monday, they probably had it after Colorado, because these guys haven't seen conditions like that in a long time, majorly rutty, rough. So setting your bike up for certain, you know, not to say they set up for certain conditions, but I've been to the farm. There's some clay based spots and a little sandy spots, but you don't get the really sticky, ruddy, grabby stuff, that we saw this weekend at High Point and that we saw at, Colorado. So I could see them going back and definitely putting some time into making the bike a little easier to ride, less grabby with ruts so that they don't have to hang on so tight. They can ride a little more free and in their zone more. So yeah, I do think that that more than one team, but like to you have the information that Star, they went back and worked on that. Yeah, I would agree that I think that they definitely made some progress.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It looked good to me. A couple notables before we switch gears to the premier class. Hey, two guys, Ryder D looked awesome this weekend. Pretty good starts, both motos. And then, of course, Chance Hymus, he did really well, was running up front there for a while. So both of those guys, I think, did really well and continue to grow and progress. And some of the notes that I wrote for this weekend, I haven't even talked to you about this, but one thing I'm looking for is like those two guys, Chance and Ryder D, to can they go from, instead of one moto getting fifth and then the next moto getting 12th, can they go from, okay, fifth to their worst moto is like a seventh or an eighth? Can they make that jump to not get outside of the top 10? And so when I'm watching these races, like those are the fun things that I'm looking for. And can these guys answer the bell? And I think that the two rookies did a great job.
They did swapping moto finishes. Chance was an 8.5 and Ryder went 5.8. So they swapped moto finishes. And I think that they're both right off the cuff there. I think Chance a little bit closer. He's had a taste of leading some laps recently. And I think he's right there. Same with Ryder. I think Ryder's just outside the bubble. And for these young kids, you know, like I think, like we've said before, there's like 13 factory motorcycles out there, and some of the you know, the age gap or the experience that we see guys from like RJ Hampshire, for example, that's been in the class, or Joe that's been in the class for 5 or so years. Yes, Joe's still young, but he's been there for a while. He's a lot longer. He's got the experience of the racing and all that. I definitely see that these guys by the end of outdoors, with like finishes, like you said, 5.5, 6.5 inside the top 10. Both motos, and then what's to come for next year is the big question for both of those two and the rookies, because they'll have a season of outdoors underneath their belt from Chance to Ryder. I think we see big improvements, big strides for next year with those two rookies.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, what's so good when they get those starts, dude, I think they learn what they're learning is invaluable, no matter, you know, how much they're out practice track with these guys. I mean, at least that I felt RV, the best way that I was learning when I was younger was like, if I could get up there with like Lammy and K-Dub, and you just learn so much, that pace, how they charge, breaking points, where they're accelerating, all that stuff. And I personally think that what they're learning there when they get good starts goes a long ways.
I agree.
Yeah. Justin Cooper, hate it for that guy. He was second in points. That was a gnarly get off, dude. Here you go. Ugh.
Yeah, those rollers, the left hand, you know, rollers that High Points always had, goes down. Looks like he just lost the rear. And I know, like, to the fans' perspective, I know, for your information, I should say, is everybody was running these paddle tires, which is the right move. But I will say High Point has such a hard clay base in some areas. We've seen it. Here's some photos of him in the hospital with looks like a seatbelt just burnt a hole down his chest and up his neck. So bummer to see that. But they're running the paddle tire. And I know that High Point, you do too. The clay base in some spots is so shiny, so slippery, so hard that really got to manage the rear tire when it's in, when you see those conditions, where this first practice where he went down, 90% of it was probably a muddy condition, and it, you know, and then there was one of those slippery spots that just exposed itself. And those tires do not work very well. The paddle tire does not work very well on that shiny clay stuff.
No. Do you, RV, if you put yourself there this weekend, are you gambling on the fact that you'll cut your losses on the start and go with the tire that works better everywhere else? Are you going full scoop just to get the whole shot and then try to manage it on the rest of the track?
If I was there that weekend and I was racing, I would be managing the motorcycle track, and I would pick the paddle just for the start. Cause really? I've seen how I would, yes. I hated the paddle tire, and I know I think there's like three or four versions since I've raced it. So I'm sure it's a lot better, but even still, the tread pattern does not promote to be well on hard pack stuff. So, but I second moto, I would have went with a cutback tire, I believe, which is a standard tire, more of the tire they see at all the races that they run. I don't know the tread pattern of it, but I standard tire, and they cut the back knob on every other one to essentially make you a scoop, more distance in between the paddle or in between the lugs on the tire. I would have chose that for Moto 2, but Moto 1, I don't see how you couldn't have not ran the paddle.
Wow. That's good stuff. The reason I ask you that, because we never had like the full paddle, like what you guys did. So it's just, I mean, obviously we tried to run one that had as much scoop as possible. I think it was probably what the guys, or what you're explaining, you would have used in the second moto. I think that was the closest thing we had to what those guys are running today as a paddle. Well, Justin, I hope you feel better. I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to be sore. I heard from his sources that he's going to be okay. He's going to be sore. He had a hole in his like esophagus, like trachea.
Crazy.
Yeah, but those things, they heal up. They heal on their own. I don't think there's much you can do other than just rest it. But from what I had heard, it had already started to close up. Switching gears, 450. Man, it was great to have Kenny there. That was a nice.
That was.
Yeah, right? That was a nice surprise. Were you expecting that?
Actually, we got a little insight from Davey on the show, the show week before. And he's like, sounds like we're getting, you know. And
yeah.
And, so we kind of knew. I was stoked for it. Kenny's always I always like to watch Kenny race. He's very pretty smooth and takes creative lines. We got him on screen here passing Masterpool and then Garrett Marshbanks. Look, just dragging the leg, man. The ruts were so deep.
I know.
And the problem is too, Ricky, man, once you stick your leg in the mud, it's so sticky. It wants to pull you off. You can't get your foot back out of it. It's like,
right.
You know, so it definitely makes it tough, but it was good. Like, man, honestly, pretty much the only person that's gave a jet for a run for his money so far this year. So,
right.
From a racing perspective, from a fan's perspective, I was stoked to see some 450 battling. Cause it's, to be honest, it's been a little boring watching Jet just ride around at 70%.
Going back to Davey kind of saying that, I don't know. I didn't know that I believed it at the time, but nevertheless, it was cool. It was a nice surprise. And I'm glad that it wasn't just fake news, what happened there. And yeah, to your point, it was a lot of fun to watch Jet be challenged and basically keep his mind occupied. I talked to Jet a little bit yesterday. We had a 4-hour delay leaving Pittsburgh, and he said he didn't feel that great on the bike because of the conditions. They were trying stuff, and I even talked about it on his post race. But here's a uncharacteristic mistake by Jet, and a lot of people. I was reading something earlier today. It's like, see what happens when, you know, someone challenges him, he goes down, he makes a rookie mistake. And listen, people, he's a rookie in the premier class. He is human. He's gonna make mistakes. He's gonna hit the deck. But as an overall, the guy is well in control. So
right? I would say one of the best. I mean, to go from a rookie season, it's 450 rookie season, like this outdoors right now. I mean, it really could have not gone any better so far. I mean, yes, yeah. had a little tip over, very treacherous conditions. He wasn't, in my opinion, really under pressure. He had to keep his pace up that he was running, but he really wasn't under pressure. He had already got a gap on Kenny. There wasn't like it was a cat and dog fight there. It was a little bit of a breather gap and man just started washing the front. And then at the last second it caught, spit him off. So, very easily to do right there in that section, because it's a long downhill to the right sweeper. As you can see, you have the very tacky material like we talked about, and then the shiny material also through there. So anything could have happened. It could have been, you know, just grabbing the rut wrong, a little too much weight on the front. Or, I mean, there's 100 different things that could have happened in that, or, you know, so, man, I just, yeah, for the ones that are hating on him right now, for under pressure, I don't see it.
No,
you're watching a different TV channel than I am.
Yeah, I know it's crazy. I see all this stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, and then if he does go down, they're like, oh my goodness, this guy, look, he made a mistake. I'm like, dude, he's gonna crash. Like,
and Ricky, to your point, like, how many mistakes has Jet made in so far? None so far. I mean, this was his first weekend with a mistake, really, right? So
I talked a lot about Ken. We have a soundbite, but dude, I thought it was awesome. It's super hard to do what he did. To come in, you know, four races in, not having a lot of time on the bike. I spoke to him Saturday morning, and he gave me some insight on what was going on and just a little bit of time that he had to test on his machine there. But we got some sound. Let's roll a little bit and see what he talks about coming back.
Yeah, I am beyond stoked. You know, the support that I've been getting from the fans made this so worth it, you know, and this was a brutal track to come back to. You know, I've had 2 days of outdoors this week, and I can't believe I got second after being seventh on the first moto, so that's so rad, and I did this for my son and my family, you know, it's Father's Day weekend, and yeah, we pulled it off second all the way, and yeah, I might have to come back for a couple more, I think.
That's cool. Isn't that cool? Like, I look back on, like, on our careers, it would have been really special to be able to share those moments with our kids, man. That's
yeah, just... I totally agree. All I have is YouTube now.
I know. Right. Yeah. I think you did a good job. You know, it's hard to do, as you know, that dude, especially on those track conditions, he probably wasn't anticipating that. I can only speculate. When we watched this, just watching the video of when Kenny fell down, this was the first moto. And unfortunately, he couldn't get it going. So the old kickstart wasn't working there. But when these bikes get hot, they're so, so hard to crank back. But I think he tried to turn out of the rut a little early. And that's what happened. I believe he ended up saying that after the pack. Do you think that, and this is where I think we're starting to see RV, like the importance of going into those playoff rounds and having the highest seed, and what that means, and not giving a guy like Coop took the, I think he surpassed Sexton in the SMX points after his performance this weekend. Do you think that Ken is doing this because of that? Or do you think he's really coming out here and racing because he just wants to race?
So obviously I'm going to spitball here, but if I'm Kenny and that is a priority, which I believe it is a priority for him, for his team, to do the last SMX rounds, I think he needs to get up here, right? He needs to come out and put in some good performances, even though he's not racing all of them, but just like a 7-2 for second overall. Like, those are some valuable points for the SMX World Championship, right? Coming into those playoff rounds. So, and also too, like, you know, maybe he said, "I am just coming out to have fun. I'm tired of sitting on the couch." That totally could be it too. But you know that there's a little bit of like, hey, I know I need to get back to racing a little bit. I can't just sit all summer off and then expect to come out and be my best at these last three rounds, especially when we only have three, right? It's not like you have a 17 race series where I'll race myself into like where I need to be. You need to be sharp coming in because there's only these three rounds, right? So I think, you know, coming out, getting some racing experience or, you know, getting some more racing under his belt for this year, just so he's not stagnant sitting on the couch. I know these guys keep riding, but still there's nothing, you can never replace racing the motorcycle. And it puts himself in a better position for that SMX, you know, those last three playoff rounds.
Yeah. You go in with a higher seed.
Yep. So I believe that's probably what it is, but Kenny, I mean, you've worked with him. I am buddies with him, but trained back with him back in the day, pretty nonchalant, you know, easygoing, fun guy to be hanging around. So he probably was like, yeah, let's go race, you know, and then it'd be like, it'll help me out for this, do this. We'll be able to test the, you know, like, I'm sure that's kind of how it is. He's not an overthinker, if that makes
right.
sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Well, nevertheless, I think it's great for the series. I think it's twofold. Number one, to your point, I think it's great to go for sure, go into the SMX playoff rounds with the highest seed possible. Cause you don't want to be spotting a guy like Coop. Say Coop gets everything turned around. It's not going to be a lot of whoops at these SMX rounds. And, you know, like, I feel like that's his worst game that he has in Supercross, Cooper's concern. So he'll be closer than what he was in Supercross because of just no whoops, or as many whoops, if you will. So I, you know, I know if I was racing you, I wouldn't want to go, you know, start the series out 5 points back. So I think it's twofold. Mm-hmm. It's great, dude. I think it's great that he's doing it. It's great for the fans. One thing I will talk about for the 450 is like watching AP. Feel so bad for him. I think that when he fell this weekend, there's a shot, like there's AC going around the outside. Aaron's going to go to the inside. I think he makes that pass, had this not happened. I believe he knew he was going to get the lead, and he just laid that bad boy in there. There was nothing to lean against. He goes over it. So do you think that he's almost feel like he knows he's riding well and he's comfortable, but he's over trying? That's my opinion.
He's probably in a position right now where he's like you said, his riding is there, mm-hmm. Or within the ballpark of where he needs it to be and for the finishes that he wants. But it's eluded him for so long. Now it's probably becoming this pressure on his shoulders, I would maybe think. Because look, that was, you know, look, I know the track was gnarly, but that was a pretty, to me, a very simple or mindless mistake there. Came in and sat into the bike a little too hard, and the berm gave away, went out from underneath of him. You know, those little mistakes, trying too hard type thing, you know, like almost go slower to go faster in this scenario. It's tough. He's had a tough season so far. You know, I think what could, if you put that out there, of like, if he would have got his first Supercross win, would that have changed his trajectory in riding and mental and physical side of his racing to get that win in Supercross that eluded him last lap, you know? So I don't know. It's a tough thing. I've never worked with Roger personally, just for Motocross Nations, but I can tell you Rog probably isn't too stoked right now.
No, he's not. Rog is, I mean, yeah, you haven't, other than Motocross of Nations, you haven't had the opportunity to work for him. And dude, he's cut from the same cloth as you and I. I mean, he'll give you some rope for a little bit, but you better perform. And when you continue to make, you know, mistakes, and especially when you have the speed, it doesn't go over well with Rog, and he loses his patience really quick. And you know what? I mean, I love AP, but he's better than what he's doing now, and he's making mistakes that he should probably try to tighten up a little bit, being honest. And all right. Well, you know what, dude? We got this is one of my favorite segments of the show, RV, is where we take care of our great fans, our loyal viewers and listeners. Quadlock is a great partner of ours, and every week we do a Quadlock case question of the week. And this one is kind of outside of racing, and the reason that you win, James_Coat_, we appreciate you tuning in to Title 24 every single week, whether you listen, whether you view. So James asks, he says, it was for both you and I. He says, after watching this week's race at High Point, it makes me wonder, why can't the Progressive X-Star Suzuki team put an electric starter on Ken Roczen's bike? And before we get to some other questions about the weekend and all this stuff, James, we appreciate that question. And this is why you win it, because we can elaborate on it. I'll take this one. When we had RCH, RV, we went to Japan a couple times with Suzuki, and we spoke with them. They're like, hey, you know, at minimum, you have to have the electric start. You're already the heaviest bike. Mm-hmm. Right, you have the least amount of technology in the bike, but you just go ahead and put it on there, you know, put it on there. And they said, well, we don't want to make the bike more heavier. And then it got down at the end of the day, this is what it's about. It's about cost, and mm-hmm. you just can't put an electric start. For people who don't understand why they don't do it, from what I know, you just don't put an electric start on. What you have to do is you have to completely configure and change the casting of the cases to be able to fit the electric starter in there. That changes everything. That costs money. And when at the end of the day, this is a business for Suzuki. And when you're not selling enough motorcycles to justify what that cost is going to take for them to change the casing and the moldings and the castings, to have an electric start, they're not willing to put more money in, or at the time they weren't, and it appears that they still aren't, They weren't willing to make that investment that it would take because they weren't sure that they could recoup that money. From a business standpoint, that's smart. You know, if you and I were owning Suzuki, I would probably try to get the cart in front of the horse. I think that maybe, you know, I would gamble. If you're a gambling man, you would do that. But long story short, I know that I've rambled on. It's a business decision, people. And, you know, they don't feel like putting an electric start, or at the time, they didn't feel like putting an electric start on the motorcycle was what they would have to spend on there. It was too big of a gamble financially for them to do that. So,
and I think, you know, to your point, Ricky, like they, at the time with, when you had RCH and you went over there, Suzuki was still, they were no longer factory racing actually from, remember they, you guys were the factory team. So they've already had pulled back a little bit. And then you guys, they gave you guys the full reign of going racing from a privateer, or not privateer, but a privately owned team. And it's same thing now. I mean, one thing has to be said though, I will say, is really from the development side in the US, I mean, Suzuki's a very, very underdeveloped motorcycle. So I personally think like the guys over there, the Dustin Pipes and Pipes, the family that own the team, the Progressive, the Twisted T, that whole setup over there, like for Kenny to be able to come out and ride, number one, that track was gnarly. To ride it the way he rode it with not a lot of time on or developing that 450 outdoors, pretty damn good platform, I would have to say. You don't come out swinging like that on something that doesn't have a good foundation underneath of its wheels. So, you know, I kind of heard some crickets maybe through somewhere on Vital that maybe there is an electric start coming for next year. But it, you know, that is all hearsay. We'll find out. But yeah, amazing job by those guys to get Kenny out there to race Supercross like they did and be a contender in Supercross and now jump into just jump in fourth round and be a contender for some moto wins. That's
massive.
That's paying a lot.
Yeah. Massive shout out, dude. And you just crush it with that, with those views and analysis on that. And you're exactly right. You know, massive shout out to the Pipes family and that whole, the whole crew at HEP. And make no mistake about it, dude, they got some pretty good personnel over there that's been around, that has a lot of experience. I mean, Larry Brooks, for example, you take him. I mean, dude, the guy's worked with the best guys in the business, Jeremy McGrath, James Stewart, Chad Reed. I mean, he's worked, you know, he's Yamaha forever. He's a professional racer. Dude, he knows what the heck's going on. So, I mean, this is a great race team. And, you know, like, just because it doesn't have an electric start doesn't mean that the bike doesn't work properly and you can't make it win. And Kenny is a testament to that, you know? So great job by the whole HEP team. I'm pumped for you guys. It's tough to do, tough to race against these manufacturers that do they have deep pockets? Of course they do. So, kudos, definitely kudos to them. And James Coate, we appreciate you. If you just direct message us, we'll put you in contact with a Quad Lock Case and get you sorted out.
One thing about Kenny too, I think, and the Suzuki is, I think that the effort that the AGT team is putting in and the results they're getting, this might ignite, you know, a fire with Suzuki and get him to update that motorcycle, and if it's going to be electric start here soon, because obviously we see what happened. He laid it over, nothing crazy, bike was on its side, got it up, couldn't get it in neutral, then he couldn't start it, you know, all of those problems would have, that seventh would have probably stayed a third, let's call it, you know. So let's hope they're watching, because it's we need another manufacturer like that involved. And, you know, hopefully soon they'll have an electric start and be a little more competitive in a scenario like this.
Right. We got some other fan questions, RV. Hey, let's go global with our fans, bro.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Ben Mulran. Hey, guys, big fan from Oz. Appreciate you, Ben. Question for the show that I'd love your views on. How long do you think Jet can stay at this level for? His approach to racing seems more laid back than RV and Dungey. Do you think this will translate into him being able to stay in the sport at the top level longer than others?
That's a good one.
Past multi-time champions. Good question. What do you think, dude?
You know, I do. I do think they've definitely changed up from your career, my career, the Dunge. I think everybody's kind of has a different outlook on their racing career today versus myself, Dunge, and you. You know, so I think that alone is going to help, but also being in Jet's position, you know, I think, look, you're getting pulled in a hundred different ways. And I've kind of heard this cause I know some very close people to his group, you know, like it's, sometimes it gets a little overwhelming and it's not, we didn't retire from the competition side, right? Like, or necessarily the workload. It was a combination of all that mixed together. But, and ultimately for me, I can only speak for myself, is just the being in the pressure cooker of winning, right? Every single year and trying to back that up. So I will say, if his Jets career keeps on the trajectory that it's on, no disrespect to anybody else out there, but he's not being challenged very much currently, which is a lot easier pressure wise. It's not like every single time you line up next to the gate and you're like, okay, who do I have to deal with today? Is it going to be Chad? Is it going to be James? It's always going to be Dunge, you know, for me. So that I think is, you know, I mean, let's face it, like that takes a lot of pressure. And it also is a lot funner to go racing when it's a little easier.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's easy, because he's working like a dog. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, dude. I think like, yeah, you're exactly right. I feel like there's an impression out there that people think that they're not working super, super hard behind the scenes. And like you and I, we're kind of guilty of giving that impression, because we're sitting here talking, well, he's only 70%. He probably is only 70% at the races, but that doesn't mean he ain't busting his tail during the week, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's when all of our work gets done, right? You don't show up on Saturday and say, hey, we're going racing today, let's see what we can do. No, Saturday is almost, Eldon used to always say, Saturday's the lightest day for you, because you only got two motos and, you know, like practice, where, you know, there's no gym involved, there's no road bikes involved, there's no, you know, two 30 plus twos plus sprints and the rest of it, you know, all that's done during the week. And I know that Dazzy, which is Hunter and Jet's dad, and the program that they're running, Darren, out there, is they're out there from sun up to sundown, let's call it. You know, they're putting in their time and their work, you know. So that's why he's able to ride at 70-80% during the weekends right now, is because of what's done during the week.
That's right. You work your tail off during the week.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
To make your weekends easy. 100. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Was cruising through the pits, saw the Monster Energy Star Yamaha boys working those Boxo USA tools. Everyone get over to BoxoUSA.com. Check those guys out. Remember, lifetime warranty. Super easy plan. If you have an issue with one of your tools, boom, take a picture, send it to them, and send your parts on, and they will replace them. They got some great product and just an absolute great company. super, super motivated to bring the best stuff. And we appreciate your partnership. And then, of course, United Motorsports. I got to spend some time with one of my great friends from United Motorsports this weekend. You know who he is, Ryan Duff. He's his little son is sponsored by United Motorsports. So they're from around that area. So
Nice.
Got six locations, yeah, within Ohio and Kentucky. If you're ever in and around that area, pop in. You can get yourself some Boxo tools. You can check that out. And it's good people. Good people run that. But, yeah, Duff was there this weekend. They came to race, and his little guy was going to race on Friday. But then, of course, they got got rained out. But
yeah, got
UnitedMotorsports.com. Check it out. They're good stuff, good people, and I think you'll be pretty happy with what they're bringing to the table. Before we talk about looking forward to the off weekend and all that stuff, I want to go keep it global side. And did you see Herlings is out again?
I did see that, yes. Tershental, and I actually watched the video, talked to Rubes also.
What happened? I didn't see it.
It came around to it was a left-hand sweeper, and rear tire kind of got loose and started coming out on him. And then it was really weird. The front grabbed something, and it really fast crash, kind of a fast section coming up to a tabletop, I think, and just kind of nosedived right in with his body into the takeoff. And it was very hard pack there. And I had heard there was a little numbness in one of his fingers or something, because he ended up did do something to something in his neck or, you know, region. But man, I mean, what do you say? I mean, about what I think 102 or 103 MXGP wins, the most ever. But consistency, once again, you gotta be, that's where Jet is so good and Hunter's so good, is they don't, you know, they're very calculated on what they do and when they hang it out. And man, Herlings, really, if he doesn't win, he's hurt, and he could have won a lot more over the past few years if he wouldn't have been so much gotten hurt so often.
Yeah, he went on. Did you see when I got I threw gasoline on the fire, and he did Gypsy, and I was listening to a little bit of it, and you know, then they started comparing him against you, and
yeah,
you know, who would my money be on? And I'm like, well, I mean, I think your MO and my MO is the same as, dude, we're championship guys, you know?
Yep.
And for me, I'm not going to speak for you, and you can say after I say it, but dude, I would trade however many Supercrosses for two, you know, a couple more titles, any,
yep,
you know, wins as far as that goes, because at the end of the day, from a money standpoint, you know, that's what pays the big dollars. That's what we're paid to do, is win championships. And I'm paying a guy, yes, to win races, but ultimately I want to pay my guy to win championships. And so that's what I said. I'm like, well, it depends. If you want race wins, you would probably go with Herlings. But from a championship standpoint, I think everyone knows who my money was on, which obviously was you. And it got so many people riled up.
Fired up.
Right?
Like, yeah, it's funny. I was watching Gypsy, or I seen the Gypsy Tales thing, and I think it was they were asking about Lomel when I went over to Lomel.
Yeah, that was
And Jeffro's like, I said, and it was Rubes was working for him at the time, right? So, and I'm really close with Rubes because of Ben Townley, and so are you, you know. So I still talk to him over WhatsApp and all this, and he goes, we didn't know. I looked over at Rubes, and he goes, we didn't know if that was his mechanic out on the bike or him. And I'm like, I'm like, all right, yeah, like I wasn't very good there, like for sure, I was okay. But then I was talking to Rubes. I said, I off the couch right now, today, I guarantee you, I wax his ass out at the Supercross track. It's just, yeah, a guy from here and bring him over there, it's going to be very hard to learn. And you take a guy from over there and put him in Supercross in our element, it's the same, same sort of thing, right? So, I thought it was funny, you know. Even Rube said, he goes, Jeffro will be the first one to, I'm out. I ain't riding Supercross. I tried that. I tried that once, and I'm just put me back on the plane.
Yeah. I will tell you though, dude, Herlings, dude, that guy has had some serious pace for a really long time. Really, really fast. Oh, here it is. Oh,
yeah.
Watching the video of Herlings. This is after he gets back. I didn't realize he got back up on the bike
He ended up riding around. Yeah. I think he finished the moto, but I don't, it wasn't good. He had to ride around pretty slow. And then come to find out there was something broke, in the neck region or back, upper back region there. Yeah. It was a tough crash.
Yeah. Well, Jeffrey, we got much respect for you, dude.
And, that's right, buddy.
Hate to see that, you know, hang in there. Feel better. Hope that everything will be okay, and you'll be back out there, and then maybe one of these days at the Nations we can have some more beverages together. Can you imagine me, you, and him having some beverages? But does he turn it up like we do, or no?
I don't know. I haven't been in that situation with him, but I think you, at Motocross Nations, it just brings a completely different vibe. And it's one of the, it is by far, anybody listening that's never been, I tell you to definitely get out, go to a Motocross of Nations. Red Bud's always a great one. Got to support Red Bud, but I always really like, to go to Europe.
Oh yeah.
And race over there. The vibe is just insane. Not that it's not at Red Bud, cause it's great at Red Bud. Go and do that one also. But if you can get to Europe, go try Europe at one out, because it's really, really phenomenal.
You know, I think it'd be pretty cool to see one of these guys from the MXGP series come over and race one of the SMX rounds, playoff rounds. That'd be a lot of fun to see that. Hopefully that would be enticing to these guys, especially if they're out of the championship. Before we cut off, promo code TITLE24, 10% off at all of our partners, United Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, and Boxo USA. Just use the promo code, like I said, TITLE24 for 10% off completely site-wide. Don't forget about that. I should have hit that when we were making the sponsor reads and thanking them. Weekend off, and then we go to Red Bud. I will not be at Red Bud. I am going to be out of town. I'm going to be in the Bahamas. So don't get at me. Leave me alone.
I don't think I'm going either. 4th of July weekend into it. Right. So
RV, that's tough, dude. When you got to our spot where we've sacrificed a lot of years being gone, especially on 4th of July weekend. I like to be a normal dude on 4th of July. Right.
Exactly. Yep. I'll be doing the same.
What would you do on off weekends? Like say you're racing, like what would you do?
Off weekends, so obviously we would kind of ramp up a little bit in the riding department there during Monday through Friday, since we didn't have to travel on Fridays. So, but as for on the bikes and but on the bike, off the bike, gym stuff, workout like that, wasn't much of a difference. We'd probably add one. So like on a Tuesday, it would be two motos. Thursday would be also two motos instead of normally Thursdays for when I was racing was 1:30 and then some shorter sprint stuff. And then we'd fly out Friday. So we would get back into doing two on Thursday. And maybe just a little bit of light riding on Friday. And then I would try to, we were still bike ride hour and a half on Saturdays. But then after that, I'd try to go and, we were right on, I was in Claremont. So I was right on Mineola, the lake. So I'd try to go out in the wakeboard boat as long as it wasn't smoking hot, you know, because that's one thing I tell these guys. Like, I know it sounds fun. Golf sounds fun. Wakeboarding sounds fun. All this stuff sounds, but the sun is it drains the life out of you. So you got to be very careful to not be stuck out there on the boat, you know. So which is a catch 22, because you're like, oh, I want to do this. But then Monday I was hung over just from the sun alone.
You're luckier than me, because I wasn't hung over from the sun. Mondays after weekend off, dude, I'd be in Destin going large. I was like a caged lion. I would doing their stuff on Thursdays, and I'd be like, okay, I need to get like 640s in this week, right? I'm going to do it like Monday, Tuesday. I'd do sprints on Wednesday. I'd ride 4 days in a row just be completely smoked so I could get out of there Thursday. I'd have Friday off. When I say Friday off, and you know this, just because we had off, we're not talking from cardio. We still had to do cardio, but I'm like, I'm out of here when we're done on Thursday. And it was Friday and Saturday was full blown. Thursday was recovery. And normally Mondays, those first day backs were a little tough. Was a little rough.
Yeah, always. And like I said, just it's tough. And I think that's what I've said this before on the show. I think that's what I admire about the guys today. They're able to they're learning to separate the business and the racing side, and still have a good time when they're not racing. Where for me, I even if I wasn't racing a weekend off, whatever, I was still kind of, I was still stuck in that rut of we're going racing, we're going racing. I couldn't detach myself from it. Yeah. And I think, that isn't good in a lot of ways. I think to keep the fun in it, to keep the, keep you energized for a longer career, I think you got to learn to separate yourself from the racing side of it.
Yep. Certainly. Yeah. I'm definitely envy of those guys today for sure. Great, great point. I know we got the weekend off, but, still some motorsports actions and things to, keep in mind. SMX Insider with Weege and JT comes out Thursday at 2 p.m. on YouTube. Going into an off weekend doesn't mean there isn't much more motorsports to watch. Dude, epic. So pumped. Saturday, it all starts with NASCAR's return to NBC as Xfinity Series kicks off at 3 p.m. Sunday. Grab that screen again. The action starts with IMSA. WeatherTech Sports Car Series, 6 hours at the Glen. 10:30 a.m. Eastern starts on Peacock, then moves to USA at 2 p.m. For you two-wheel fix guys, hey, check out MotoGP at TT Assen. I've never been there. I want to go there. That's at 1:30 Eastern on CNBC. The NASCAR Cup Series kicks off the charge to the playoffs in Nashville under the lights. It starts at 7 p.m. on NBC. Man, I love we were there for Supercross. That's definitely going to be a party. I raced NASCAR Nashville in the truck series, and I ran out of talent, but make sure you check that out. I'm super excited about that. That's going to be a lot of fun. RV, we got one in the can. We need to thank everyone for watching. We appreciate all your guys' support wherever you watch. Make sure you subscribe wherever you download your podcast or on all the podcast applications. Make sure you tune into us, Motorsports on NBC YouTube page. And of course, Peacock, we are on demand on Peacock, so you can go back and watch some previous episodes if you would like. We appreciate all the interaction that everyone that you give us and you do for us. We love the questions. I will say the questions, ramp them up a little bit next week for sure. Some of the questions that we don't answer, I don't want you guys to get bummed, but a lot of it is because some of the questions, our answers that we give on the analysis, like during the races, kind of answer the questions. So if you can kind of think of some questions that are maybe not so much related to the actual race that weekend, that would be helpful for RV and I. But nevertheless, totally. We appreciate all the viewers, all the listeners. Again, like, subscribe, comment, and make sure you check us out. Have a great, great trip this week with your family. That's going to be epic. You deserve it. You work hard for it. I know the kids are going to have a great time, and send us some pictures.
I will. We'll be up in Craig, Alaska, catching some kingshammer, hopefully, and get some good weather. So we're stoked. Look forward to it.
Make sure you catch enough and, send some down this way. Right?
That's right.
Vacuum pack it and seal it up and send it on.
That's right.
All right. We'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you very much.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.